This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio.
Me? This is Crime Classics. I am Thomas Highland with another true story of crime. Listen. A Bengal tiger, name Prince Rajput, weight 462 pounds, 9 feet 7 inches long. A well-behaved tiger doesn't quite understand what he's doing in New Hampshire, but he's eating better than in the jungle. And the job he's got with the circus isn't very taxing. Sit on a pedestal and snarl on cue. 10 minutes, three times a day. Simple life. Except one day, in 1842, he got mixed up in 4th of July and changed a man's life for him. Tonight, my report to you on New Hampshire, the Tiger and Brad Ferguson. What happened then?
Crime Classics. A series of true crime stories taken from the records and newspapers of every land, from every time. Your host each week, Mr. Thomas Highland, connoisseur of crime, student of violence, and teller of murders. Now once again, Mr. Thomas Highland.
Summer lay gently against New Hampshire in 1842, and the purple lilacs stippled the fertile meadows. Down from the White Mountains, the rivers ran swift and cool into glacier lakes, and the pine and maples grew tall. The slow and droning season of honeybee and sawbite into lumber and syrup dripping into pails, and time drifting into rosy twilight, and end to work and evening. And where the 7 o'clock time touched the edge of Dover was the white frame house. In it, Bradbury Ferguson and his wife Mary. And they were performing a ritual of affection.
And when we're done with the dishes, Mary, we'll walk into the evening away.
I'd like to.
Mary.
Yes?
It's a sweet life you've given me.
No more sweet than mine.
There is another thing we should speak of.
The child?
The summer next, Mary. Well, then we can afford it.
It'll be the happiest summer of all then, sweet husband.
Well, then you won't say a word against this, Mary. A small drink.
Whiskey, Brad, no. But...
a toast to our child. A toast to next summer. Thank you, Mary.
No, I want none of it. Nor should you, husband, for an occasion so flimsy.
But I'll drink to our child. Don't look so distressed, Mary. It was but a small drink. To add another warmth to the already warmth we have.
I don't like to see it. Your father...
My father. My father, indeed. He was a drunkard, Mary. Would you say I was a drunkard? You see me drunk? Ever? Except when we wed that day.
The Christmas last, Brad. And the New Year day that followed.
Holidays. Occasion needed the drinking to it.
All right, Brad. All right.
Nor mention my father to me as if I compare it to him.
All right.
For he said that Satan was a woman. Mary, drunk. He said it a few days he was sober. Satan was a woman, you would say. And you're a woman, Mary. And an angel. So my father was muddled. My father was a drunkard.
Put back the bottle, Brad.
I've already poured a drink for you, Mary. Drink him.
No.
No? I'll not waste it. Come, let's walk, dear Mary. Walk the evening for a while.
Thank you.
the night was full of sounds and silences and love.
And they said I shouldn't marry you. They said you would make me unhappy. Oh, was there ever such happiness for a girl as you've shown me?
No less the happiness you have given me.
A month full of June evening like this, and July came. And so did Lane's European Circus and Carnival Incorporated. Two elephants, a cage of monkeys, a Bengal tiger, a manually operated carousel, and devices calculated to supply merriment. There was a picnic on the 4th of July.
Have another drink, Brad.
I will indeed, and thank you for it.
Whoa!
Oh, now, Mary.
4th of July, Mary.
Day of Independence.
Holiday.
Here's your bottle, Carl.
Just the little one, Mary. Wasn't it, Mary?
Dad?
Yes.
Let's go home.
Oh, it's young, Mary. The night's young.
A ride on the carousel's what we need. Mostly you, Mary. And being brother to you, I'm going to see that you get it.
Brad, please don't drink anymore.
Say something, Carl. I'll tell you what she's afraid of. Last New Year's Day, I got a little tipsy and I hit her. Now you know.
It was an accident, Brad. Now, please.
Wasn't any accident, dear. Dear Mary. Ah, dear Mary, darling. I hit you. Something came over me and I hit you. She was unconscious for an hour, Carl.
Please take me home. Then I'm going home by myself.
Then I'm going home by myself.
Then I'm going home by myself.
Go, go!
Very well.
Mary? Dear Mary. Dear Mary, darling. Thank you for that bottle, brother-in-law.
And somewhere in the carnival, he wandered away from his brother-in-law with the bottle and drank some more. Drank until whatever truth he had never known became crystal clear, and only the shapes and the sounds outside of himself began to distort, and voices had a peculiar quality.
Oh, where did you come from?
My name is Nona. I've been with you for the last hour.
That's good. That's very good.
My name is Nona. Buy me that.
Oh, yes.
Buy me that.
Mm, yes.
And that, and that, and that.
And that. I'm fond of you.
Oh, you're a dear.
Now watch. And now.
Is there any more?
What?
Why money, why money, why money?
Yes.
Let me see. Buy me that. Is there more money?
Yes.
Let me see. Let me see. Let me see.
Gone. Nona? Nona? Nona, where did you go?
I'll find you. Tiger. Bengal tiger. Name Prince Rajput. Do not stir. Tiger. I'm not afraid of you, tiger. Prince tiger. Show you.
Not afraid of you! Ah!
Some brave.
What?
That tiger could have killed you.
No?
He ripped your coat, and if they hadn't come and pulled you away...
Nona.
If they hadn't come and pulled you away, that tiger would have ripped you to shreds.
What is here?
What?
Where am I?
Where I live.
Drink.
Yes. You're very brave.
Yes, I am.
That's why I brought you here.
It's a wonderful 4th of July.
What's your name, sweet?
Brad.
I'm Nona.
My wife's name is Mary.
I'm Nona.
Drink.
You remember?
What?
Who I am.
Oh, I know. I knew all along.
I'm Nona.
Satan.
What?
Woman. You, Satan.
Was he drunk?
My father always said it. Now I know it's the truth. Satan is a woman. You.
Here. You let her alone, and you stop it.
I heard you scream, girl, from my room.
What about him?
Well, I hit him. He's unconscious. What do you want me to do with him?
Drunk. Crazy. Drunk. Get him out.
Well, he tried to kill you.
Get him out. Get him out.
It was only 10 o'clock at night when Brad Ferguson got thrown out of Nona's room. 10 o'clock on the 4th of July. And he wasn't through celebrating yet. Once again, Thomas Highland and the second act of Crime Classics and his report to you on New Hampshire, the Tiger and Brad Ferguson. What happened then? First of the original 13 states to establish a government independent of Great Britain. And there were people in the town of Dover who could still remember that day in 1775 when the Crown's representative, John Wentworth, was tossed into Lake Winnipesaukee. And fellows from New Hampshire fought in every battle of the Revolutionary War. Brad Ferguson's grandfather marched with Major Cullen's irregulars, and on furlough, fell in the gutter in Boston from poisoned rum. Brad Ferguson's father, on the other hand, lived to be 30. And Brad Ferguson himself, well, he was a few months older than 22. On the 4th of July, 1842, at 10 p.m.
Sit-dum. 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 Dum, 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 dum. 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 Dum, 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 dum.
Friends, Americans, countrymen, good evening to you all. Bar? Barkeep.
What do you want? What do you have?
Good evening to you, sir.
What do you want? What do you have?
Rum.
Rum?
Yum, dum, dum.
How'd you get so messed up?
At a dance with the devil.
Who?
Satan.
And what happened?
Nearly killed her.
You're very drunk, aren't you?
Nearly killed her, but she whirled me and spun me about and threw me into the street. I need rum to heal me.
Mister.
What?
Mister, show me your money.
Oh, of course. Of course, good sir.
Well?
She took it. All of it.
Who?
Satan. Who is the woman, sir?
Out.
Friends, Americans, countrymen, listen to me. Listen to me! I fought a tiger! And for a drink of rum, I'll tell you about it. A little drink of rum, friend? Thank you. Blackie, mite of rum?
Thank you.
I fought a tiger to a fairly well. A tiger, he paced.
And I went up to him. And I dared him.
Yeah! And the tiger screamed. Ah!
Holy cow.
My husband.
I am happy. I am very happy.
Loud.
Oh?
Drunkard.
Am I not?
Shameless man.
All these things.
Just shame me as you did.
Mrs. Ferguson.
What has been said all about?
Mrs. Ferguson, I have made up my mind.
Down the road, Mrs. Roberts stopped in a while ago. She told me of a tiger and you.
My mind about a thing.
About you and a woman.
About a thing which concerns you.
And how you went away with a woman.
My father said it, and I did not believe him at first. He talked of Satan.
You should not have come back here.
He talked of Satan, and he said Satan is a woman.
I don't want you here.
Satan, son, he said, is a woman.
A woman. Woman.
Bradbury Ferguson fell down in a heap in a field outside of Dovertown. It was July 5th. And past him, and not noticing him, Lane's European Circus and Carnival Incorporated. On its way to Vermont, its animals asleep, which included a tiger. false dawn and the death of laughter, and later, morning, and the drone of Dovertown in the summer, sawmill and shop and morning voices of neighbors.
She wasn't to market this morning.
Of Mrs. Ferguson.
And Friday's the best day for marketing, and she knows it well. I wonder why she wasn't to market this morning. Let's see why. And not home. Could she have gone to her parents now for the shame that was brought on her by her husband?
Questions on the summer air. And more questions.
For the shame brought on her by her husband, Carl.
What shame?
I'm told you, her brother, was at the start of it.
What are you talking about?
Yesterday at the circus. You gave him what to drink. You, his brother-in-law.
And what concern
is it?
She
was not at marketing this morning. And did she return to her parents' house, I'm asking?
No.
Then where is she?
Mrs. Busybody.
Say that if you want. But I'm a neighborly woman. Neighbor to another who has a drunkard for a husband. Husband whose father and father's father were drunkards. And her not home and...
Not home.
Not home. Not home. I told you not home, else she'd answer. Is the reason I came to you, her brother, to come here and see if...
Policeman Slagle, and he killed her.
And why do you say that?
He was drunk.
And how do you know that?
I gave him whiskey.
But why do you name him killer?
Well, he's a mean man and an ornery one when he's drunk.
Yet you gave him whiskey.
Holiday.
Where is he?
I do not know.
But you were with him?
He left. There was a woman. I saw her with him.
What woman?
Nona.
Oh?
You know Nona?
Yes.
You know where she lives?
Yes.
A good time at the circus, and he bought me this, and this, and this, and then suddenly he had no more money. I thought to leave him then.
Did you?
For a while. But then I heard something scream or someone, and everyone was running. And there he was, taunting the tiger, and the tiger slashed him with his claws. But Mr. Ferguson stood up to him and was very brave. And I brought him home with me.
Of course. Tell me what happened here.
Look at my throat.
Bruised.
He tried to strangle me. He said I was Satan. He said I was the devil. And he grabbed me and put his hands about my throat and he tried to kill me.
And I hit him and knocked him unconscious and threw him into the gutter.
Then he came in here.
It was after 10 o'clock.
Tell me what happened.
He came in and as pretty as you please said good evening to everybody. Then pretty as you please said to me as he wanted rum. And seeing how he looked...
How was that?
Torn coat and dirty. He was as dirty as anyone could be.
Mm.
And seeing how he looked, I said, where's your money? And he didn't have none. Then did he tell us all that he had fighted with a tiger. Stood up to a tiger, he said, and someone bought him a drink, and he started to roar, and I throwed him out, pretty as you please.
About 2 in the afternoon, and outside of town in a field, a man stirred and awakened, opened his eyes to a copper sun and shut them quickly, slowly opened them again, slowly so that the bright colors of New Hampshire afternoon would unblur, would define themselves, become tree and grass and purple lilac, and got up, walked across the field to the brook, and the water was sweet, and the water was cold. Then Brad Ferguson walked down into Dovertown.
Good morning, Mrs.
Why?
What's the matter?
Why, Mr. Ferguson. Can I walk with you, Mr. Ferguson?
Of course.
There's someone looking for you, Mr. Ferguson.
Who?
Mr. Slagle. Mr. Slagle, the policeman, Mr. Ferguson.
Why?
For what you did last night. Where are you going, Mr. Ferguson?
See Mr. Slagle. Find out what Mr.
You don't remember what you did last night?
I was drunk.
You know what you did?
I was drunk.
Mr. Slagle will tell you what you did.
Bought a tiger.
And what else? Mr. Slagle will tell you. Right in here, Mr. Slagle will tell you.
Mr. Slagle, you're under arrest. Why? Because of your wife. My wife? Yes? What of my wife? What of marriage? Make a complaint that I've... She's in the... In the back. Do you want to see her in there? Do you want to see her? Yes. But I love you, Mary. She's dead. Strangled her. You killed her. But I love you, Mary. Murderer.
Bradbury Ferguson was tried and found guilty and sent to prison for the rest of his life. He was happy in jail. The friends who visited noticed a kind of serenity about him. Forever he heard his wife's voice, and most of the time she was singing.
Brad Ferguson, tonight's crime classic, was adapted from the original court reports and newspaper accounts by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. The music was composed and conducted by Bernard Herrmann, and the program is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. Thomas Highland is portrayed on radio by Lou Merrill. In tonight's story, Lamont Johnson was heard as Brad. Featured in the cast were Mary Jane Croft, Gene Bates, Paula Winslow, Jack Crucian, Polly Bear, and John Daner. Bob Lamond speaking. Thank you.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins.
It surely is. After all, the temperature does vary in the Argentine. A caballeros can be very warm if he's after a woman, and very cold if he's out to kill a man. You know, of course, that I'm married to Greg Collins, the famous private detective. I'm Gail Collins, and I'll be back in a moment to set the stage for our puzzling crime.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins. Tell me, Senora Collins, you mentioned the Argentine. What's our story title tonight?
I call it The Chrome Yellow Death.
Sounds exciting.
Believe me, Jack, it was. Greg and I received an invitation to Los Colorados, just outside of Buenos Aires. A very wealthy tobacco magnate, Tom McDougall, owned an exquisite hacienda farther inland, in rather fetid, tropical, almost jungle area. He had known Greg a long time, and he'd asked us to fly down from San Francisco as his guests, including the plane fare. What especially intrigued Greg, though, was that instead of the usual come-and-visit-me note, the letter from McDougall hinted that there was some high jinks going on in Cruz Angelo. Anyway, we had left the airport and driven way inland to Tom's hacienda, where the foreman greeted us.
Bienvenido, Senor y Senora Collins. Welcome. I am Antonio Sebastian, Senor McDougall's foreman. I will take the baggage, I think, no?
Hello, Antonio. We haven't seen you in about 5 years, have we?
No, Senora. It is a pity. It is a shame.
Where's Tom, Antonio? Out in the tobacco fields, I suppose.
Ah, no, Senor Collins. Senor McDougall, he never go near. He just let Antonio grow the tobacco. He stay here all the time. He will be here soon, I think. Would you like to make yourself comfortable?
Oh, gee, sure. Thanks.
Here, I have prepared a daiquiri for you.
Oh, it has smell, Antonio.
Antonio, make the best daiquiri in all Argentine.
Thank you, Antonio. Well, salute.
Salud y pesetas y amor, Antonio.
Salud, senor y senora Collins.
Sensational.
Oh, I'm going to steal you from Tom, Antonio, just to have you in San Francisco. We'll pay you twice what Tom does. And all you have to do is make daiquiri.
Antonio. Antonio.
Ah, there's Senor McDougall now. I'm here, senor, with your visitors, Senor and Senora Collins.
They're here. I hadn't expected them so soon. Greg, my boy, and Gail, how are you both?
We're fine, thanks, Tom.
And you look a bit hot and bothered. Something wrong?
Yes, a fire. Almost destroyed my tobacco crop.
What is that?
Oh, we got it out, but it was a pretty close thing.
You were in the field, senor?
Yes, Antonio. And something's very funny down there. I'll talk to you about that later, after dinner.
Daddy!
Oh, Lorna. Greg, Gail, you remember my daughter.
Yes, of course.
Oh, hello. Hi, Lorna. Hello. Daddy, did you tell me the truth? Do you swear you didn't hurt yourself putting out that fire?
No, have I ever lied to you, Lorna?
Yes, often.
I want to show you something when we finish dinner, Greg.
What's that, Tom?
Something I found in my tobacco field. A rag, soaked in kerosene.
You found what, senor?
A rag, Antonio, soaked in kerosene. Somebody started that fire deliberately.
But why, Tom?
I don't know, Gail. Something screwy's going on here, and I can't figure it out. Today, we had a brush fire. Last week, someone put poison in my wells. Antonio and I have watched and waited. We even notified the police and had a few agents to policia hanging around for a while.
Anybody in these parts got it in for you, Tom?
Oh, no, senor. Senor Tom, everybody love him.
Everybody except Granite.
Who's Granite?
Jeppe lives about 10 miles from here. Wild little fellow. He's an exporter. He's also a nut about Latin American culture. He collects things. Has about a dozen rooms full of Aztec weapons, Mexican novelties, Brazilian coins, all kinds of junk.
What's he got against you?
He wanted to buy this place. Of course, I wouldn't sell it to him. But you're wasting your time thinking it's Granite. He's clever. He wouldn't be pulling any of these stunts. They're too obvious for a man like him.
Daddy, I still say you should sell and let's get out of here. I hate this place. It's horrible. I can't sleep nights. Oh,
please, Senorita, do not cry.
Hello, Lorna, darling.
Oh, hello, Stuart. Greg, Gail, this is Stuart, my fiancé.
Hi, Stuart.
Oh, you're just in time for dinner, Stuart.
He's always just in time for dinner.
Oh, now, Daddy, you've got to stop that.
Young man, I'm among good friends, so I can speak freely. Someday, I'm going to take you by the seat of your pants and toss you out, once and for all.
Look, MacDougall, you might as well get used to the idea that I'm going to marry Lorna. Because that's exactly what's going to happen.
It is, eh? Why, you insolent...
Daddy, young... please. We have guests.
Sorry, Greg, Gail.
It's okay, Tom.
Daddy's just in a bad mood because we've had some more trouble.
I know. I heard about the brush fire. Mr. Granite told me.
You know Mr. Granite, Stuart?
Yes. I work for him. I'm his foreman.
Is he in town now?
Yes, he is. And he's on his plantation. Now, I know what you're thinking, Mr. Collins, but you're on the wrong track. Mr. Granite isn't the only person in town who has a grudge against MacDougall.
Stuart, don't start that
look,
again.
Look here, Stuart.
Oh, Senor Stuart, please. You know how you say exaggerate?
Do I, Antonio?
I began to see that Tom MacDougall's beautiful hacienda was actually a very strange place. There was hatred and suspicion everywhere. But keep your ears pinned, friends. We'll be back in a minute with more of our story. After dinner, Greg and I took a stroll in the grounds. It was cool, the stars were out, and we stood by a long line of fountains that Tom had lit up with colored spotlights. Oh, aren't those fountains gorgeous, Greg?
I know something much prettier.
What?
You, Jim.
Oh, Greg. That's the first nice thing you said to me for ages. Why aren't you romantic anymore?
I know the next line, bub. It's about how marriage changes men and they take their wives for granted.
But you do.
Now, look, darling. Let's go up on that little balcony. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
The stars are shining right on it. Just see if I've forgotten how to be romantic.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea, Greg. Come on. The stairway's over here. Greg, look. Under that archway on the floor. It's Tom. He's fainted.
Yeah, let me see him, Gail.
What's that around his neck?
It's a gimmick they call Las Bolas. Three strips of leather with three lead balls.
But what's he doing with it? What's wrong with him?
Las Bolas has one major purpose, Gail. It's just served that purpose very well. You use Las Bolas to commit murder.
The dead body of Tom MacDougall, sprawled on the colored tiles by the fountains in the starlight, was a gruesome paradox. Greg leaned over, loosened those leather strips that were around Mr. MacDougall's throat.
It's quite a weapon, Gail. Used extensively in Argentina. These three lead balls are each at the end of a leather strip, see? An expert, and only an expert can use Las Bolas, and he tosses it, sometimes from as much as 20 feet away. One ball knocks the victim unconscious. You see that bruise on Tom's head?
Yeah.
The other two wrap themselves around the throat, strangling the victim. Evidently, that's just what happened to Tom.
Oh, we'd better call Antonio, don't you think? He can get the police. Antonio! Antonio!
You call me, Senora Collins?
Madre mia! Senor MacDougall! Los Bolas! He's dead? He's dead?
Yes, Antonio.
Oh, Senor MacDougall.
Mr. Collins, Stuart and I wanted to ask you if... Daddy! Well, what's wrong with him? What's happened? Daddy! Your father is dead, Lorna. Oh, no.
Easy, Lorna. Easy.
Come with me, honey. Sit down over here.
Did you find MacDougall's body just that way, Mr. Collins?
Just this way, Stuart. Not 5 minutes ago. Recognize this yellow leather gadget?
Yes. They call it Los Bolos, don't they?
Yes, they do. Take care of Lorna, Gail. I'll get someone to phone the police.
You killed Senor MacDougall. That is what I think, Senor Stewart.
Shut up, you crazy fool.
You hate him. You kill him.
Where'd you get that idea?
When you learn how to use Los Bolos.
Suppose I do know how. That doesn't mean I'd murder MacDougall, does it?
Please, please, stop fighting this way. Daddy's dead. What good does it do to accuse each other?
I think I can help, Lerner.
How?
By going to the other plantation and talking to Granite.
Stuart and Lorna stayed and waited for the police. Meantime, Greg and I got into a station wagon with Antonio and did 85 on those dirt roads till we reached Granite's plantation. Granite was a queer-looking duck, short, shabbily dressed, with very heavy glasses. He smoked small black cigars and peered at us behind a huge desk covered with paraphernalia.
What can I do for you, Mr. Collins?
I have some news for you, Mr. Granite. Mr. MacDougall is dead.
I'm glad to hear it. I loathe the man. A heart attack, I presume?
No heart. Somebody kill him with Los Bolos.
Well, then, he had the satisfaction of dying in a rather picturesque way. Most of us aren't that fortunate.
You wanted to buy Mr. MacDougall's estate, didn't you?
Oh, yes, indeed. I'm an exporter, Mr. Collins. The MacDougall estate is by the waterfront, has a ready-made landing. By the way, will you give Lorna MacDougall a message for me?
Yeah, what is it?
Tell her I want to see her. Say it's very important. I'd never have persuaded her father to sell. He's very stubborn. Well, somebody saved me a headache.
Do not speak of the dead this way, Senor Granite. You'll be punished. Senor, Senora Collins, please excuse me.
Oh, where are you going, Antonio?
I wait outside. I cannot speak to Senor Granite. If I speak to such a, how you say, man of the devil, poor Antonio will be punished himself.
Like most of the natives, Mr. and Mrs. Collins, Antonio is an illiterate fool, weaned on superstition.
I'm sorry, Mr. Granite. I'm very fond of Antonio.
You still haven't told me why you came here, Mr. Collins. You suspect me of murder, of course. But you must be incredibly naive to think that you could just walk in and have me hand you a written confession.
I haven't accused you of murder, Mr. Granite. I'm just, shall we say, gathering information.
Let me help you. Would you like to look around my place? Most of my guests find it fascinating. I've dozens of rooms in which I've gathered Latin American curiosa. One entire room is filled with the remnants of the Mayan civilization. Oh, and by the way, you'll see also a bolos, which I know how to use. Mine is painted green. What color was the one the killer used?
Chrome yellow.
Oh, disturbing shade. I don't like it. Would you and your lovely wife care to follow me? I can describe the items in my collection as we go.
Thank you, Mr. Granite. I'd rather not.
Then may I offer you a drink? I have one of the largest wine collections in Argentine.
I think we'd prefer to leave right now, Mr. Granite.
Very well, Mrs. Collins, just as you say. My man tells me you came in your own station wagon, or I'd be happy to offer you a car. The front door is this way. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Granite. Coming, Antonio?
The station wagon is right outside, Senor. I drove it around to the front. Oh, my head. I feel dizzy. I feel sick.
Antonio, what's wrong?
Oh, sick. Antonio feels sick. The drink, there was poison in the drink.
Oh, what drink? Try to talk, Antonio. What drink?
Say no, Grana. Man, he give me drink while I wait out here.
Antonio!
He's been poisoned!
I resent the accusation, Mrs. Collins. Antonio may be ill for half a dozen reasons, but certainly not because of anything he was served in my house. I'll call a doctor.
You'd better call a doctor, and quickly, too. If Antonio dies, you'll have killed him.
I'll have the physician come over at once. Don't excite yourself, Mrs. Collins.
Antonio! Oh, he's so cold, Greg. And his eyes...
Gail, we've got to leave Antonio in Granite's hands.
But we can't... can't.
We must.
Why?
We've got to get Ilona MacDougal. Bring her back here as soon as possible.
We drove to the hacienda, picked up Lorna, and made all speed back to Granite Place. As we walked through the huge entrance, across the tiled floor... Look, there's Antonio. How are you, Antonio?
Better, Signora. Mr. Granite did not send for the doctor.
He didn't? Well, where is he? I'll tell him
He took good care of Antonio. Got me these blankets. Put me on the sofa and gave me drink. Antonio better.
See, Greg? Granite got a little too ambitious. He knew he couldn't let Antonio die right in front of our eyes.
Where is he, Antonio?
In that room, Senor. He went in there. I think. Antonio, not sure. Antonio fell asleep.
All right, Lorna. You know what to do.
Go into that room?
That's right. Tell Greenwich you want to know exactly what he has to say, why he wanted to see you. And don't be afraid of him. Remember, we'll be right outside the door.
What are you doing?
Don't worry, Antonio. Just relax.
Go on, Lorna. Through that door. Stand over there, Gail, so Granite can't see you when she opens the door.
Ready, Mr. Collins?
Ready. Open the door. Well? See him, Lorna?
No. No, he's not here. I don't see him anywhere.
What is it?
In the corner of the room. Mr. Granite. He's dead. Lost bolus. Mr. Granite was lying in the corner of his room with a yellow leather bolus wrapped around his neck. His face twisted in agony with a horrible purple tinge from strangulation. In just a minute, we'll bring you the climax of the case. Greg had examined the body and called for the police.
Oh, it's horrible, horrible.
You've had more than your share, Lorna.
I don't understand it, Greg. All this time, I've been thinking that Mr. Granite was...
The killer? Well, I was on that trail for a while myself, Gail, but...
Mr. Collins, Mrs. Collins.
Oh, there's Stuart.
What are you all doing? What? Oh. Mr. Granite.
He's dead, Stuart. Died the same way Tom MacDougal did.
Mm-hmm. Lost Wallace, huh?
Where'd you come from, Stuart?
I work here, Mrs. Collins. I told you that before. I'm Mr. Grant's foreman.
Antonio, is this the man who gave you the drink?
Drink? What's wrong with Antonio?
No. Senor Granite has houseboy.
You know, I think we could wash this up even before the police get here.
The police?
Now, if you'll calm down for a second, Lorna, and answer a question or two.
Please, please, no more questions. Not about Daddy, anyway. I can't talk about that, please.
Now, take it easy, Lorna. Sit down. Have a cigarette. I'm sorry I only have these native cigarettes.
Oh, no, no, thank you. I only smoke American brands.
Anybody else? Antonio. I bet you could use one.
Oh, thank you, Senor Collins. That is what Antonio need. Calm the nerves, I think.
Why don't you take the chair in the corner, Stuart? I'm sure we'd all stop screaming at each other if we could get at the truth.
Look, never mind the psychological approach, Mr. Collins. All this cozy business doesn't impress me at all. Get to the point.
Oh, I will. Yes, Stuart, I will. If I can get everybody to cool off. How about you? Smoke?
All right, I'll take one. What's in this cigarette?
It's marijuana.
What?
Greg, did you say marijuana?
That's right, Gail. The killer smokes marijuana, and he...
You are very much smarter than I thought, Mr. Collins.
Antonio!
Get out of my way, Mrs. Collins.
Stop him! He'll get out through the window.
Quick, the bullet's on the wall. Give it to me. Here. Watch out, Antonio. I'm going to throw it.
No. No, don't throw it. Oh, my legs. My legs.
You're lucky, Antonio.
I decided to wrap it around your legs and take you alive. You're lucky I didn't give it to you in the throat the way you did with MacDougall and Granite.
After they took Antonio away and we said goodbye to Stuart and Lorna, we decided to finish our vacation in Caracas, Venezuela. As we waited in the airport... All right, Greg. Start from the beginning about Antonio. And tell me slowly. Because I'm not in a very bright mood.
Well, it isn't complicated at all, Gail. When Antonio collapsed, after he said he'd been poisoned, a packet of cigarettes fell out of his pocket. I recognized them. They were marijuana cigarettes. Well, that gave me a hunch. And when we went back to pick up Lorna, I had a look at the tobacco growing there on the outskirts of the MacDougall plantation. It was marijuana.
But what's that got to do with it?
Don't you see? I've clinched it. Antonio, when we first met him, said MacDougall never examined his plantation at all. He left it to his charming foreman, Antonio.
Then if you knew it was Antonio...
Well, I wasn't absolutely positive, Gail. Until I purposely offered those cigarettes to Lorna, Stuart, and Antonio. And of course, all they knew was that I had a native pack. Lorna refused them. They made Stuart sick. But Antonio enjoyed them.
I know the rest. I can fit the pieces together as well as you can. Antonio was probably growing the marijuana way out near the jungle where MacDougall wouldn't notice it.
Yeah, that's right. Antonio not only smoked the awful stuff, but probably sold it at a terrific profit. He poisoned the wells and started the brush fire because he wanted to jinx the place. He didn't want anyone to buy the plantation. They might find out his secret. But MacDougall must have stumbled across the stuff, so...
Antonio killed him.
That's the deal. Then, to throw suspicion off himself, he slipped himself a Mickey in Granite's house. But Granite, who was a very sharp apple, must have guessed Antonio was faking. So, Granite had to get the bolus treatment, too.
Last call for flight 63 to Caracas.
Greg, darling, when we get to Caracas, you owe me something.
Yeah? What is it?
A balcony in the starlight. You were going to show me that even though we've been married for a few years, you could still be romantic. You were going to recite poetry and give me flowers and...
Oh, no, Gail. Oh, no. Oh, not me. I don't get romantic with all that icky stuff.
But, Greg, when we do get to that balcony with gardenias all around it, the stars are out. And we're alone. What will you do?
I'll think of something. Well, folks, Gail and I hope you enjoyed our adventure, the Chrome Yellow Death. Be sure to visit us next time for another Puzzle in Murder. For where there is crime and romance, there you'll find Mr.
and Mrs. Collins.